بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق اجمعين، والصلاه والسلام على رسوله وحبيبه عبد القاسم محمد. على اهل بيتي الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته. Brothers and sisters, marvelous Maulana, I like that. I have to get a t-shirt made with two M's on it. MM. Sell it, make some money. Marvelous Maulanas. Yeah. I'm very pleased to be here on this occasion, which I consider to be a happy occasion, despite the fact that the main impact of Imam Hussein alayhi salam's life upon us is something sad. But there's always been a relationship in this world between happiness and sadness, between joy and pain, between light and dark. In fact, we live in a world where these polarizations are present on this particular plane of existence. And we are going to another plane where they tend to be separate, where heaven, the pole of positivity, is in one side, and hell, the pole of negativity, is on the other. In thinking about what I was going to talk about today, I remembered a particular verse in the Holy Quran, which I think it is very appropriate for this time. When we think about the times that we're living in, which seems to be one of the major themes of this evening, the year 2015, and what is happening in the Muslim world. Allah says in the Holy Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kunu qawamina bilqist shuhada'a lillah walau ala anfusikum awil walidain wal akrabin. Allah says, O you who believe, stand out firmly for justice as witnesses to Allah, even if it is against yourselves, your parents, or your relatives, even if it is against yourselves. And I think this is very, very important, because what we are seeing in the Muslim world today is the development of a virulent, toxic, anti-Shia environment where you have people who think that it is an act of spirituality, an act of religious obligation to kill Shias, to destroy their reputation, and to see them as the most important enemy of mankind. And this is extended to a whole community. Men, women, children, it does not matter. Your very belonging to this madhab is something that creates a hatred in the mind of those people who have been infected with the Wahhabi Salafi mentality. To kill and destroy us in a genocidal fashion. The other day, we had a bombing in Qatif, and a Wahhabi was quoted in response to a blood drive to give blood to those people who were injured. He said, I will not give my blood, I wouldn't even give spit to Shias. On the other hand, we have a blood donation campaign for Imam Hussein right here. And this blood donation campaign, we do not distinguish between Muslim and non-Muslim, between Shia and non-Shia. And I think that is very, very important. because it shows people the real true spirit of Islam. And so I hope that my speech today is not to make us despondent, but to make us hopeful. It's not to make us upset, but to make us happy. And I would try to prove this and show this to you in terms of the life of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Now, when we look at the time of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, we find the exact similar conditions that prevailed in that time prevailing in this time. Only in that time, it seems that they were against the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam themselves and those who were directly associated with them. Today, this hatred is developed in the same way, but now it is directed to the population of Shia at large. Now, we might say that's a difference, but there is no difference. And there is no difference for two reasons. The first reason is that we ourselves, the Shia, are extensions of the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim salam. We are extensions of the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim salam. In talks that I gave here before, we talked about the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, talking about himself or likening himself to a tree, that he is the trunk of the tree. The branches of the tree are Imam Ali and Hazrat Fatima to Zahra salamu alayha. And the leaves of the tree are those of the Shia. When they are born, a leaf comes out in the tree, and when they die, that leaf falls from the tree. What it is actually indicating is that we share in a spiritual continuity and a similar identity with the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. So their hatred and their attacks upon us and their efforts to eradicate us from the face of the earth is exactly the same as what they used to do in the past 1,000 years ago. They wanted to eradicate the very Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam themselves, and today what they want to do is eradicate the very school of Shia Islam itself. Why did this happen? Why has this happened? It's exactly because of the same reason why Imam Hussein rose up. Imam Hussein alayhi salam rose up against the dictatorship of an unjust group that hijacked the Muslims and tried through the method of propaganda that would make Joseph Goebbels embarrassed to see the kind of things they did, where they turned things upside down. They made the good people look bad, and they made the bad people look good. And this is exactly what they are doing today. They are flooding the world, flooding the media with negative attitudes about Shia. A couple of days ago, I was standing in the courtyard of this building, and two Somali old men came into the courtyard and called me over. And they said, what are you guys celebrating here? I said, we were celebrating the birthday of Imam Hussein, alayhi salam. He said, Imam Hussein. I said, yes. He said, okay, so you have Mut'a in there. Where did this come from? Where did this come from? What if I turned around and told him that your masajid are hotbeds of Al-Shabaab? How would he feel? What if I told him that your masjid is a place where you cut girls? How would you feel? Okay? It is because of this type of attitude that has led to a big divide between the general Sunni community and ourselves. And I'm not going to mince words, because Allah says in this particular verse, he says, stand up for justice if it is even against yourselves. Against yourselves. So if we, as Shia, see some other person, other people doing wrong who come from our madhab, we have a God-given duty to criticize them, to exhort what was right upon them, to prevent people in our own community from doing wrong. But I do not hear anything from the Sunni community, the Wahhabi community, the Salafi community, anything, any criticism of these atrocities that they do to other people. I hear nothing about it. The only time they get up and they do something is when the government starts saying that your masjid probably has people who are terrorists or who are recruited for ISIS. You don't hear a peep from them When you hear them killing out Yazidis, you don't hear a peep from them when they are, behead Christians. You don't hear anything from them. The only time you hear something from them is when they are on the hot seat, when they are being looked upon under a microscope, that they are places where Al-Shabaab and, these other groups recruit. This is when they get up and start being defensive. Yes, Allah, to the Holy Prophet Muhammad and his family. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allah loves those who stands up for justice. And it is precisely for the reason that the Shia community, or I would rather say the Shia leadership, under the guidance of Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayhi, after the Islamic Revolution, where he called upon all Muslims, not just Shia, all Muslims, to stand up and have independent states against whatever tyrant that ruled them. And this is something that challenged them. And it is at that point that they opened the doors of fitna. So right now, you have people thinking that the best service to do to Islam is not to ally themselves with those who want to stand up against oppression, but to ally themselves with those who want to commit genocide just based on the fact that somebody doesn't believe in the same thing you say. For over 1,000 years, Shias and Sunnis live side by side, marrying among each other in Lebanon, in Iraq, in different places. But since that call for people to be empowered, for people to change their system and change the Yazidis that run their community, it is at that point the Yazidis of today brought in a Yazidi strategy. And that strategy is to use their power, their financial power, aided and abetted by Western countries who saw it in their interest that the Muslim community be divided, for everyone to stand up against the most prominent anti-imperialist movement in the Muslim world, to try to suppress it and to try to marginalize it. And unfortunately, a lot of these Muslims are not self-critical enough to be able to recognize that they're being hoodwinked, that they're being bamboozled, that they're being fooled into thinking what is right is now wrong and what is wrong is now right. Where does this all lead to? It will backfire on them. Makaru wa makarullah wa Allah hayru makirin. It will backfire on them. When they were parading the captives of the Holy Prophet's family, alayhim salam, through the different towns, people would look at them and they would say, who are these people? And the guards would say, these are rebels who rose up against the state. And then Hazrat Zainab, alayhim salam, alayha, and others would say, oh no, this is the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim salam. And they would know the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim salam, as being the family of good, the family of what is right, the family of justice. And they would look at the very captors themselves as the oppressor. And in this process, that very act of oppression turned into a spark that created a revolution. And so what we have to do is we have to manifest ourselves just like the Ahlul Bayt was, alayhim salam. We have to be the torchbearers of freedom, of justice, of fair play, of tolerance, because Islam is the most tolerant religion that the world has ever seen. And what these people are doing is they are actually destroying the pristine reputation of Islam. Whilst ISIS is destroying architectural sites, the Saudis are deliberately targeting archaeological sites and historical sites in Yemen. Whilst ISIS is beheading people left, right, and center, we heard Sister Ruhi talking about them wanting to crucify Sheikh Nimr. You don't hear anything from the West criticizing them. Why? Because they are the fifth column. The Saudis are the fifth column in the Muslim community. You know what a fifth column is? A fifth column is a group of people in your society that supports your enemy. And this is what they are. And they're spreading their fitna left, right, and center all over this world. And so like Imam Hussein alayhi salam, we have to stand up and resist that. And today our sword is the internet. Our sword is our pens. Our sword is our tongues. Our sword is us as a community standing up for justice wherever we are. Hearing our voices being heard. So people could watch us and look at them and say to us, you guys seem to be the real Muslims, not those ones. And it can be done. I remember in my university days, I would do tabligh in among the student community. And there was a particular sister who was quite strong. She used to run a particular, student organization. Very, very strong woman. I would say to myself, she'd never become a Muslim. She'd never become a Muslim. So any question she asked me about Islam, I would give her the answer, without any frills. You know, do you cut the hands off the thief? Yeah, we do. You know, could you have four wives? Yes. You know, I wouldn't give any explanation, because I was so sure she wouldn't be a Muslim. She was too strong-willed. And she got a job, a summer job, working in an airline, a Saudi airline. I said, oh my God. Well, now she wouldn't be a Muslim, for sure. And I saw her after that job, and she said, and she had changed. She was wearing a beret. She was wearing a long dress. It was Ramadan, too. A long dress. I'm like, how are you doing? Yeah, I'm fine. She says, I just finished this job. I said, yes, how was it? She said, I saw so much corruption. So much corruption. But every time I saw that, I thought about you guys. Okay? Myself, my brother, and a couple of brothers who were in the business of doing the tabligh. I thought of you guys. And you guys were never like these people. She said, I'm fasting today. I said, but you're not Muslim. She says, I know, but it's Ramadan and I feel like fasting. So I said, great. Come over to a meeting that we have. Because we used to have, did I ever mention this before to any of you guys? Okay, good. for Ramadan, what we used to do is to have iftars. And in our iftar, we'd make a presentation, we'd talk about some things and so on. We'll encourage our brothers and sisters to invite a friend, a non-Muslim friend. That's how we would spread our deen. And we're not going to browbeat them with talk and try to... No, just sit down and just take in the atmosphere and hear what we had to say. I said, okay, come to an iftar that we're having and so on. And she came. She's my sister-in-law now. Because my brother saw her and he said, who that? And she's a very strong sister. Very strong sister in Islam right now. But the point I'm trying to make is that just by our activity, just by who we were, she was able to make a difference. She was able to make a difference. Recently, I heard about a confused young Muslim brother, and there's lots of us, confused young Muslim brother, who fell under the influence of a Christian evangelist. And while he's falling under the influence of this Christian evangelism, he's from a Shia background. He encounters a few Salafis behind a table doing tabligh on the road. And he asks this Salafi, what about Christians? And the Salafi says, they're all going to go to hell. They're all going to go to hell. And this turned him off. This turned him off of Islam. Until he came here and started to talk with us. What you do, who you are, is sufficient to counteract that. But as long as we marginalize ourselves, as long as we are content to live in a Shia ghetto, as long as we are content to practice personal individual Islam, we will not be a viable alternative to these people. We have to work hard. We have to work hard. We have to work hard with those swords that we have in at our disposal. And these swords, as I mentioned to you, is the pen, is the keyboard, is a television program, things like that. It's your own relationship with Muslims and non-Muslims outside in the society. Because our deen, our madhab is deep. It's profound. Recently, I went up to my favorite restaurant, Basil, up the street. I'm not promoting them, but if you go, tell them they need to give me some kind of commission. And I sat at a table, and there was a woman sitting at the table, you know, so yeah, of course, you know, in this society, you don't tell anybody anything, you don't say hi, you don't say anything, you just sit, you know. I can't do that, you know, I try, I just can't. So, I think her paper towel, her napkin was flying, you know, as I said, you better put that under your plate, because you might lose it. And we started talking. I started to talk, and she was a Muslim. And we started talking about a whole lot of stuff right there at the meal. Right? It's a Sunni sister. You know? And she said, well, where do you work? Where are you? I said, I'm right down there at the Islamic Center of England. Said, oh, okay. She doesn't know it's a Shia center. Right? Doesn't know yet. You know, we're the wrath of these. You know, but she said, and I'm just giving her the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim salam. But she said, I never heard anything like this. You know, it has given me a deeper understanding of my own religion. I want to invite you and your family over to my house to meet my husband and talk to my family. And this is something that Imam Jafar as-Sadiq, alayhi salam, has said. Okay? He said, let people listen to our words. Without Jafar, Imam Reza, one of them. Listen to what we have said. And that itself will strike a chord with a heart that is soft enough and humble enough for the truth. Salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa Ali Muhammad. Imam Hussein, alayhi salam, teaches us how to be in an environment where the outward odds are against you. He doesn't teach you how to be the powerful majority. He doesn't teach you that. He doesn't teach you how to be a white Christian in Britain. Okay? He teaches you how to be a brown Muslim in Britain. He teaches you how to be a minority and to have influence and power over your environment. He teaches you how to be committed to your principles and not backing down from them. And he especially teaches you, as Brother Nabil had mentioned, how to love. Because our deen is based upon love. It is not based upon opposition. It is not based upon fighting. It is based upon love. Love for God. Love for the creations of God. love for everybody, showing people respect, fighting for the right people, fighting for the oppressed. One of the ways that Islam was spreading in the African-American community was precisely because of the fact of people like Malcolm X. Malcolm X wasn't just fighting for Muslims. Malcolm X was fighting for blacks, for browns, for American Indians, for Chinese, for everybody who came under the oppression of international imperialism. That's what he was fighting for. And so you would go in certain parts of Harlem or Chicago or Detroit, which is a very scary place, as a Muslim, not as an African-American Muslim, you know, as a brown Muslim, as an Iraqi Muslim. Iraqis brown? I think so, right? Iraqis are brown, right? Some Iraqis think they're white, you know, but they're brown. You're brown, guys. You're brown. Okay? You know, you could go in these places and you dress like a Muslim and they respect you. They love you. And why do they love you? Because they know you fight for them. They know you would give your heart for them. That's why they love you. And this is the kind of personality that we need to have. When Zuhair came to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he didn't call Abbas to pull out his sword and cut off his head because he was a Christian. He didn't tell him, embrace Islam right now or you're dead. He didn't do that. He talked to him about his cause. He talked to him about his cause. He did not talk to him about why he should be a Muslim. Because justice is something that is appealing to all people with a soft heart, with a heart that is open towards doing the right. That's all. And he gave his life for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. This is what he's teaching us. I'm part of an interfaith organization here. You know, and it's got Jews, it's got Christians, it's got a couple of Sunnis. And there's one Sunni brother who's a Salafi, who is also a member. And he will talk to you when you're in a meeting with someplace else. I think I guess he treats you like, an Ahmadi or something, you know. So here we are together and we might as well talk. When we had our meeting here, he never showed up. Never showed up. Why? Okay? Because it's a Shia center. I ain't going to no Shia center. But they're off of these. They're the enemy. So we have to show the other face, the other side. If you don't do this, brothers and sisters, we have to answer to Allah on the day of judgment. Because this is an opportunity. This is an opportunity to create in people a love for us, a love for us who are the extensions of the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim salam. We have to be people who, when the chips are down and others don't have any recourse to anyone, and they ask, who is there to help me? We stand up and say, I'm here to help you, O Christian, O Jew, O atheist, O gay. I know it's kind of hard, yeah. But I'm here to help you. When we do this, we set up a viable alternative. On our personal level, on the level of the media, on the level of the things we say. You know the hadith that says when you are confronted with an injustice, you try to stop it with your hand, meaning direct action. Direct action. And if you can't stop it with your hand, you speak out against it with your tongue. And if you can't do this, then you hate it in your heart. And that's the least of iman. What do you mean by the least of iman? The least of iman means that if you have any iman at all, you are for justice. And you don't like things that are unjust. What do we mean by the tongue? By the tongue means literally by the tongue, or it means by the tongue of the pen or the tongue of the keyboard. This is what it means. So those of us who are confronted with injustice in the world, you ask yourself, what am I doing? What am I actually doing about this? What am I physically doing about this? Now, you might not be in a situation to change with your hand. In other words, come up with a policy that the government would follow, for example, in terms of changing the situation or organizing people to do so. You might not be able to do this, but most of us have our tongues. Most of us have our tongues. But unfortunately, many of us do not have the confidence to write or to express ourselves in poetry or in playwriting or what have you. You have to overcome your own self, your own sense of lack of confidence to be able to do that. It is not sufficient for us to just hate it in our hearts. Hating in your heart is a person who has absolutely no other alternative. And we have alternatives. I think what Sister Ruhi is doing is trying to change things with the hand and with the tongue by organizing people to make change. And I got the message, Sister Ruhi. She was throwing a challenge to us men. She was saying, women are getting up and doing all this, and where are you guys? She said it really nice to you guys. Okay? But in my culture, they would say you need cussing off. You would need to be upbraided. We need to do more of this. We need to get creative. And we need to try strategies to make an impact upon the wider society in which we live. I pray that Allah gives us the insight and the foresight to be able to look at our objective situation and our subjective situation and come up with ideas as to what to do. I pray that Allah gives us the courage to stand up against odds like Imam Hussein alayhi salam and challenge the forces of falsehood and ignorance and oppression. And I pray that Allah gives us the unity and togetherness to be able to stand up against oppression as a community. Inshallah, Allah would make our community a better one and give us power over our environment, inshallah. I want to congratulate you all on the birthday of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and I hope that we take lessons from the Imam so that we be better and more contributive and positive members of our society. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.